back through the yard would give the child enough warning to turn the TV set back on and scurry into her bed. Cece sniffed the air. Serena had been gone for some time, but the heavy scent of her perfume and hairspray still lingered in the room. Cece shook her head. Even though the grocery cart had been full of dirty clothes when Serena left the house, Cece wasn't fooled. The laundry was only an excuse, almost as much of a trick as the blaring television set. If washing clothes was all her mother had in mind, she could have used the laundry room right there in the complex. For that one, the one next to the manager's apartment, she wouldn't have needed hairspray or perfume. Serena always said that the machines in the Esperanza Village laundry room weren't any good. She refused to use them, claiming that the clothes never came clean enough and that the dryers were too slow. That's why she always took the laundry four blocks down the street to the We Do You Do washateria. Cece may have only been nine, but she understood that that story wasn't the truth either. Not the whole truth. The real answer lay in the business next door to the laundry, a place called the Roundhouse Bar and Grill. Sometimes on weekends, Cece and Pablo would go along with Serena to do the wash. Usually, the two children would be left on their own in the laundry while their mother went next door to get some change. That's what she always told them, that she was going for change, even though Pablo had pointed out the change machine right there beside the soap machine. Once Serena disappeared into the bar, she'd be gone for a long time, for hours. When she came back, her hair would smell of cigarette smoke, and her breath would smell like beer. By then, Cece and Pablo would already have removed the clothes from the dryers, folded them, and loaded them back into the waiting cart. Often, it would be late afternoon or even early evening by the time they started the four-block walk home. Cece and Pablo would be hungry, grateful to munch on whatever treats Serena happened to bring out to them from the bar, potato chips or peanuts, or even hunks of tough beef jerky. Sometimes a nice man from the bar would come find them and bring them hamburgers with real French fries. Chances were, as Serena pushed the cart along, she would be singing or giggling or both. She never really walked straight after she'd been inside the roundhouse for an hour or so. Cece would spend the whole trip home praying to the Holy Mother that they wouldn't meet any of her friends from school along the way. Sitting in the stifling living room, waiting for her mother to return, Cece Grijalva felt incredibly lonely. She missed her father. Even though her mother and father used to fight a lot, she still missed him. And she missed her grandmother, too. The happiest hours of Cece's life had been spent at the rickety table in her grandmother Grijalva's tiny house, watching the old woman make tortillas. Grandma was blind, from something Cece could never remember. Something that started with a G. But even blind, the old woman's practiced hands still remembered how to make tortillas, how much flour and water to put into the bowl, how to pat the soft white dough into perfect circles, how long to leave them on the hot griddle, and how to pluck them off with her thumb and finger without ever getting burned. Waiting for her mother to return, Cece ached for the comfort of her grandmother's ample breast and wondered if and when she and Pablo would ever see their father's mother again. Serena had said they might go down to Douglas at Christmas time, but Cece didn't see how that was possible. Douglas was more than 200 miles away. They didn't have a car. 200 miles was too far to push a grocery cart. Blinking back tears of loneliness, Cece fingered the beads that lay in her lap, the ones she usually kept hidden under her pillow. Grandmother Grijalva had given her the string of black beads last year when she made her first communion. Nana had told Cece that saying Hail Marys would help her feel better, no matter what was wrong. In the months since Cece's mother had left her father and brought the children to Phoenix, Cece had often used the hidden beads to put herself to sleep, slipping them out from under the pillow only after the lights were off and her mother had left the room. Cece didn't really need to hide them from her mother. Serena was sort of a Catholic, even though she hadn't been to Mass since they moved. The real problem was Serena's mother, Ernestina Duffy. Nana Duffy, as she liked the children to call her. Nana Duffy was a Baptist. Cece could never remember.